chapter 20, verse 20. It says, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. And Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. And he saith unto them, ye shall indeed drink of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him, and he said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, the mother of James and John, the mother of Zebedee's children, she brought her sons to the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read here, and she figured that if he was the Messiah, which they believed that he was, and of course they had the common conception of what the kingdom of God was that the Jews had, was that when the Lord sent this Messiah into the earth, he was going to establish a kingdom in the earth, and he was going to set up the throne of David and sit upon that throne, and he was going to rule in a carnal kingdom in this world. Now, that was the thought that they had of what the Messiah was going to do when he came. It's amazing that 2,000 years later that a multitude of people still believe the exact same thing. When the Lord Jesus Christ, plainly in my estimation, has manifested that such is not the nature of his kingdom. He is a king. He has a kingdom. And he is ruling in that kingdom in the present time. And as he says here to this lady, and she was just a normal mother, a very loving mother, and she was seeking the best for her children. She figured, well, if he was going to be the Messiah, she'd put in a good word for him. Said, now I've got two good boys here, and I want you to be thinking about them when you come into your place of power on the throne. I'd like for them to be on your right and your left. Now, who can blame her for that? I mean, she did that because she loved her children, didn't she? I mean, so she had it in mind, that's what she needed to do. But the Lord gently, I believe, told her that she was sadly mistaken about what the nature of his kingdom was. Because he didn't say, I'm going to sit on this throne that you're going to see so that somebody could sit on my right and on my left. He said, you don't know what you ask. You don't understand, basically, is what he said. He said to them as they approached him, and he asked them this question. Now, I don't know if she put them up to this or they put her up to this. I'm not sure what the scenario was there. Maybe they were all sitting around the supper table one night and they got to thinking about it and they all came to the same conclusion. Well, this would be a good thing. Mama, why don't you go down there with us and put in a good word for us or whatever. I don't know exactly what was the deal there. But they were all complicit in this. And so he says to them, you don't know what you're asking. He said, are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink up in the baptism that I shall be baptized with? Are you able to be baptized with that? Now, they didn't know what he was talking about exactly, because look at what they said. We're able. They said, buddy, we can do it. Now, if they'd had any understanding of what the kingdom of God was and what the Lord was saying to them, they would have said, Lord, I don't know that we're able. And he saith unto them, ye shall indeed drink the cup of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. In other words, he said, you are going to suffer in the kingdom of God even as I will. And of course, the baptism that he's speaking about there is a baptism of suffering. It's a baptism of being persecuted and hated of all men, because that's what he was. And he said, you are indeed going to be hated of all men. Now we find in the scripture that James was the first, I believe, of those who were slain as a follower of Christ. And John, of course, he actually lived a long life, but he was persecuted. He was exiled. Tradition says that he was boiled in oil he was put in boiling oil, and so he was in his later years completely an invalid because he didn't have any use of his lower extremities. Now, of course, there again, I don't know if that's absolutely true, but nonetheless, we do know for a fact that he was persecuted greatly and hated of all men and put on the Isle of Patmos. But again, this was not outside of the realm of God's purpose, because the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ came to us because the Lord saw fit to put John on the Isle of Patmos. And so it is that in all these things. And so they said, well, we want to do this, and we're able to do it. And he said, well, you don't know what you're talking about. And as far as being sitting on the right and the left and those who are exalted in my kingdom, he said, that's not for me to set up, because had he been an earthly king, surely he could have done that, would he not? But he said, this is determined of my Father which is in heaven. Not that there is going to be an earthly throne, but that this is a kingdom which is set up in such fashion that it does not have such things as that. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against these two brethren. When they found out, they said, you know what, old John, James and John, they've been over there trying to get in here and get these places, and we want them. I mean, what business do they have of being the right on the right and the left? I mean, I want to be that. I want to be the vice president. I want to be the secretary of state. I mean, I want one of these positions of power. And the Lord called him unto him, and he said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominions over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. Now, he's pointing out the fact that kings and those who are in places of authority, they have their power manifested by ruling over men, telling folks what to do. Now, in this day, kings were kings and rulers were rulers, and they had the power of life and death in their hand. I mean, if the Roman ruler there of Jerusalem, as we see in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ, if he passed a sentence of death on you, you were done for, because that was the law. He was the law. And so he said, those that are in that are princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion, and they that are great exercise authority. But this, listen to what he says, but it shall not be so among you. He said, now in the world, and of course when he's using the term Gentile here, the Gentile world, he's using it in contrast to the what is of the flesh and what is of the spirit. Because the Jews, they had this understanding that they were of the Spirit of God,
and all these Gentiles were in the outcast world. So he's using their understanding here, and he says to them, now you know how the Gentiles do this, but he said, here's how the kingdom of God operates. He said, it doesn't operate by those who are in places of authority and power exercising dominion over others. Now, who doesn't like to have dominion over others? Isn't it a good thing when you've got the power to tell somebody what to do? You know, of course, some people are more prone to this than others. And I was reading something the other day about this new campaign to quit calling, don't use the term bossy when you're talking about, you know, young girls, how hurtful that is and whatnot. I mean, I never thought about it. I guess maybe it is. I don't know. But we've all known bossy people, haven't we? I mean, and not just women. Now, women do like that sometimes. I remember one time a fellow wrote a book, and the name of it was Bobbed Hair, Bossy Wives, and Women Preachers. And you can kind of imagine the thought process that he had there. Now, everybody likes to be in charge. I mean, everybody wants to be the one telling everybody else what to do. I remember when I was going to school, one of the things is they would rotate out who got to be the leader going to the lunchroom. And buddy, you just was waiting for your turn because you wanted to be the one that was going to lead everybody to the lunchroom. Because that's just human nature, isn't it? To be the one that's in charge. And the Lord said, but it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you. Now listen. He said, in the world, he that's great is the one that tells everybody what to do. But he said, the one that's great in the kingdom of God, let him be your minister, or let him be your servant. Let him be the one that does. Now the word here, actually for servant, he said, whosoever will be your chief among you, let him be your servant. It means that word there is doulos, which is slave. Let him be your slave. Now everybody likes to think about being a king, don't they? You ever dream about how it would have been to have been the king and have all these subjects running around? But he said, if you're going to be a king in the kingdom of God, you're going to have to be a slave. We sing a song sometime, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. Now, that's not a desired position. You know, if you had a sign-up sheet, I don't care where you went, and you could sign, you could put on there, you had two choices. You wanted the ones you could either sign up to be a king, or you could sign up to be a slave. Now, how many people do you think would be signed up on the slave side? Not many. There may be a few. I mean, I don't know. There's some, you know, odd thinking people in the world, but by and large, you can be sure that the list would everybody be signed up to be the king. The Lord said, if you want to be the king, you got to be a servant. Be a slave. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as, now listen, everything that the Lord Jesus Christ has ever instructed his children to do, he has demonstrated it. He never, ever has sent you to do something that he hadn't already done. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He gave himself for us. Now we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was more than just an example. He's not just an example. Now, some people, that's all they see about what Christ did, was that He is an example to men. Nothing wrong with preaching Christ as the example of men, but that's not all that He was. But He was an example in all things. Now, He, being in the form of God, and thinking it not robbery to be equal with God, made Himself, the Scripture says, of what? No reputation. He wasn't concerned with being in any particular place so that men might say, man, you're doing a good job, or whatever. He just did what He did quietly. He did what He did specially. He did it with dedication. Because that was His purpose. That's what He set out to do, was to be the servant of His people, even though He was greater than all. And that that's the demonstration of God's grace. He who had need of nothing. The Lord didn't need anything. I get so irritated when I hear people speculating on why God created the world, and they say, I guess at some point in time in my growing up, I was taught this, and this was kind of the things in the back of my mind. The Lord was lonely and He needed somebody. So He created the world so He'd have some people. How stupid is that? I mean, the God who's perfect, He needs nothing. He didn't create anything because He needed it. He created it because He wanted to, because it pleased Him. Not because He had to. But consider this, that the God who needs nothing is the one who came and dwelt among men and gave Himself in ignominy. He gave Himself in with no reputation, with people hating Him and spitting upon Him and pulling His beard out and having no consideration for His person. Yet He willingly and gladly undertook that for His people. Now we know that He did that in order to redeem His people. But He also did that He might demonstrate what it is to be great in the kingdom of God. And so it is that He said, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Now, are you clamoring to be the servant of the people of God? If you're not, then according to what Scripture says, you can't be following in the footsteps of Christ, can you? I mean, you couldn't be a follower of Christ if you're seeking to be the Lord over God's heritage. Or if you're seeking somehow or other to make some name for yourself or to build up your reputation among men. But He said, he that would be great, let him be your servant. Now, a servant is somebody that serves. Now, that's pretty simple, isn't it? He serves. Now, if you go to a banquet and you're seated at these tables, they always have somebody that comes around bringing you the food, do they not? They're the servants or the servers. Now, you don't go to the banquet to see the servers, do you? Huh? But you can't have a banquet if you don't have servers. You see, the kingdom of God operates in the same fashion. Now, everybody wants to be seated at the head table. That's where everybody's looking out over. But nobody wants to be the one having to go back into the kitchen and bring the food out to serve the people that are there. But the Lord said, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of God came not to minister, but ministered unto, but to minister, and gave his life a ransom for many. Oh, that the Lord would give us the heart of a servant. Because you see, unless the Lord gives you the heart of a servant, you can't be a servant. Because by nature, we're not servants. See, by nature, we want what we want. By nature, we want to impose our will on other people. By nature. But by the grace of God, He calls men to be servants. And He said, if you'd be chief in the kingdom of heaven, then become the servant of all. Now, you know, there's a difference between a servant and a hireling. Over in John 10, the Lord says this. He says, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. Now, a hireling is somebody that works for pay. Now, if you go in the average place calling itself a place where they teach the truth of God, they're basically teaching people to be hirelings, because you will constantly hear, oh, well, brother, you need to be doing this so that your reward's going to be bigger in heaven when you get there. And if you go out and do all these things, well, I mean, it's going to be better for you when you get up there. Will there be any stars in my crown? And all that kind of thing. But you see, a hireling is somebody that works for money. A hireling is not a servant. See, a hireling, when things get going right or the conditions aren't right, and he said, well, I ain't doing this anymore. But you know what? A slave, he doesn't have that choice, does he? Because he's bound to the master. And he's got to do it whether he likes it or he doesn't. The Lord said, if you'd be great in the kingdom of God, then you need to be a slave. Now, we don't even like to think about that term, slave. I mean, servant sounds a little better than slave, doesn't it? But the reality is, it's the same thing. Because a servant serves because of his ownership to the master. The hireling, he's just doing it for the money. And so if he gets ready to quit, he'll quit. That's what the Lord said. He said, man, a hireling, you know, when the wolf comes to take the sheep, he'll say, well, I didn't sign up for this. I'm not going to do that. I mean, there's a limit to how far I'll go. Well, how far? What's the limit for the children of God as the servants of God and servants to one another? See, some people say, oh, well, I'm serving the Lord. Well, can you be serving the Lord if you're not serving your brethren? The Lord said, how can we say that we love the Lord whom we've not seen if we don't love the brethren whom we have seen? How can we say we're serving the Lord if we're not serving one another? That's why Paul said, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Now, it's easy to get on a high horse and say, well, you know, if they had any spirituality about them, they would be thus and so. Isn't it amazing that we're never instructed to be in such a position as that? If we're esteeming the other better than ourselves, I mean, the servant, when a servant is sent to perform a task, he's not sitting around thinking of all the faults of his master. Now, and that's not to say carnally he might not entertain those thoughts from time to time, but his whole purpose in life is to serve and do the thing that his master said. But a hireling, on the other hand, he gets looking, he'll look around and say, well, you know, this guy over here is making more money than me, and we're both doing the same thing. I'm going to quit. Because I'm not getting what he's getting. But slave doesn't have that option, does he? Remember when Peter, when the Lord told Peter that he said, Peter, you all your life you've done exactly what you wanted to do, and you went here and you went there. But he said, when you get old, you're not going to be able to do it. He says, you're going to be carried somewhere by somebody else. And it's not going to be what you wanted to do. It's going to be what they wanted to do. And Peter said, well, he got to thinking a little bit about it. He said, well, what about John over there? I mean, what about him? The Lord said, Peter, it doesn't make any difference about John. You don't need to be worried about him. You see, a hireling's concerned about those sort of things, but that man who's just serving Christ, he doesn't have time. He's not worried about that. And so we're not called, dear brethren, to straighten one another out, but we're called to pray for one another, are we not? We're not called to figure out jobs for others to do, but we're called to do the job. If your eye sees something to do, do it with all your might. I mean, I've been, you know, in churches and places where people they say, well, those people they just won't do nothing. Well, just don't worry about what they're doing. Do what you know to do. See, it doesn't make any difference what somebody else is not doing. What are you doing? What am I doing? I mean, that's what it is to be a servant, to be concerned with serving. What needs to be done? What can we do to enhance our brethren's benefit? What is it we could do for one another? See, that's what the servant's mind is. What can I do to make things better? You've all been in, say, even at a restaurant. Now, some waitresses, you go into a restaurant, and they're hirelings. They're there because they're going to work 8 hours or ever how many hours they're going to work. They're going to bring the food out of the kitchen to you. And that's about it. I mean, that's just they've done their job. And that's how they look at it. But every now and then you'll run across somebody that they just seem like that every time you turn around, they're trying to do something else for you. And they're making things better than what you expected. See, that's what a servant's heart causes them to do, is to do things that you didn't expect that they were going to do. The hireling just does what's required of him. But the servant does what he can. The servant does what his master would have him do. Now, what would the master have us to do for one another? See, that's the question that needs to be in our mind. Lord, what would you have me to do? Where would you have me to go? What would you have me? Where can I serve? Are we looking for opportunities to be a servant? Are we just going along doing whatever's required and comes in the job? Well, serving Christ is not a job. You can't sign up and you can't be fired. Because you see, those who are the servants of Christ, they've gone to the doorpost and had their ears bored through with an awl. And you remember in the Old Testament that the servant, they were set free in the year of the Jubilee. And if a servant had served his master and he didn't want to leave, then his master would take him to the doorpost and he'd take an awl, which is a thing like an ice pick, and he'd punch a hole in his ear and put a ring in it. And then he would become what would be called a bond slave. And he would be the man's slave forever. Now, being a bond slave carries with it great privilege, but a great calling. because we're called to be the servants of the King. And dear brethren, I don't know of any higher calling than that, than to, by love, serve one another by the grace of God. How can we serve the King if we do not serve those whom He loves? That's what it is to be great in the kingdom of heaven. May the Lord give us grace.